Today we're going to be reading from Exodus 13, verses 17 to 22. That's on page 67 in the Pew Bibles there, anybody that's using that. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by way of the wilderness through the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up right out of the land of Egypt, equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. He moved on from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people.
Thanks, Mike. Today I'm going to continue a short little series, kind of a fun series, that came out of a recent opportunity my wife and I had to go to do some hiking down in Virginia and North Carolina, down in Tennessee. We had a vacation. This will be the third in that series, The Lessons from the Trail. To kind of launch this off, I want to speak about getting prepared to take a hike. When you're getting ready to go out into the woods, out in places that you've never been before, one of the things that's really good to have in your backpack or have in your pocket with you was what they call trail maps. Anybody ever go hiking and use a trail map? Trail maps, they're great. There's a lot of different kinds of trail maps, but generally speaking, when you have a trail map in your hand, they will mark out for you where the trail is going in places that you've never been, very similar to a road map prior to GPS days. This might be a map that you would see in the Delaware Water Gap, kind of mapping out for you different trails. These dotted lines will be horse trails, and all these other lines are trails that you can take. Great thing to have with you. In fact, some of the trail maps that you get, not only do they tell you where the bends are and how to orient yourself compared to where streets might be or streams, some of the trail maps are really nice and they give you elevation. So if you look here, these, I don't know if you can see those, but those are lines in there, topology lines that tell you how fast the grade is changing. So you can actually look at those things and they can help you determine, do you want to go up first or down first? All these kinds of things work together to help you get out in the woods, go a place you've never been before, and hopefully get back safely. In addition to maps, other things that are helpful when you're out in the woods is you can actually get GPS systems that help you when you're hiking. Those are great. We don't have one. We need one. The problem with GPS, just like on the road, is that when you're out in the woods, frequently you're out of a place where you can connect. There's no signal. So one of the things that you can always fall back on is the little compass. The compass, hopefully, a compass with a map, you put those things together, and generally speaking, you're in a pretty good, your chances increase that you're going to get in, get where you want to go, and get back out relatively quickly. One of the things also that other people that have gone on these hikes before you have done for you frequently is they go out and they mark the trails for you. They're trail markers, or they're what they might call blazes. Frequently, you'll see these kind of hash marks painted on the tree. If you're walking through the woods and suddenly you see something like that, pretty good chance that that did not grow there by itself. If you see that thing on the side of a tree, if you see this kind of a mark on a rock, or if you see rocks piled up like this, these are called cairns, C-A-I-R-N-S. Generally, these are all different kinds of markers, indicators that tell you this is the way the path goes. They're all helpful if you're out hiking in the woods. Let me give you a little bit of an insight into how these things, this is just the fun part, just introducing me a message. As you're hiking through the woods, if you happen to come upon a tree that has a single stripe on it like this, what's that mean? What's that? You're on the trail. This is the right way. You're going the right way. In fact, different trails may have different colors. You can have blue trails. You can have orange trails, white trails. Around here, if you see a white mark like this, you're probably on the Appalachian Trail. Here's another symbol. Here's two markers, kind of askew from each other. Anyone know what that means? I'll give you a little visual indicator. What it generally means is you look at the direction of the hash marks. It is indicating to you that there's a turn coming up ahead. You kind of think about this as an arrow pointing up. If you see that one, it says the trail's about to turn right. If you happen to see this one, what do you think that one means? Ah, good for you. See, you're ready to go out on the trail. It's a left turn. Here, now I'm going to make it a little bit more challenging. What happens if you see this one? Intersection. Very good. And what you do is, one of the things that's kind of interesting about these kind of hash marks is it suggests to you the top of an arrow. In fact, the idea there is this is where the trail begins. Here's another one. If you see that, what do you think that one means? Let's lay in there for you the illustrated arrow top. This is where the trail is going to end. And here's one more. What happens here? Come on, guys, think about it. What do you think it's saying? Go home. No. This means that there's a spur. That means that you're on the main trail. If you'd like, there's a spur you can turn off to the side. Just indicators, fun part of what it looks like when you're out there on the trail. So if you have these things, you have your compass, you have your maps, you can follow the hash marks, you have maybe your GPS. All those things help you out on the trail. But better than having all of those things, how would you like to have a guide with you that has been there, done that, knows where the things are at, knows that the trail's been washed out? How many people would prefer to have the guide with you rather than the GPS, rather than the trail markers? Let me tell you a little story. Joan and I, we've had lots of opportunities to hike, and even though you may have all those things with you, they may not always be clear. One time, Joan and I had an opportunity to get away to St. Lucia. It's not even in the United States. St. Lucia, for one of our anniversaries, I think it was our 20th anniversary. We're out hiking. We're following what we thought was the trail. We had done all of our research. We had read up. The trail was supposed to be pretty straightforward, supposed to be wide. We're following this trail, and suddenly the trail seems to get narrower and narrower. And it heads down to the edge of a cliff, and we're now walking on what feels more like the edge of the cliff rather than a trail. In fact, we come to where the trail in our mind is dead. It stops. There's no trail. There's not even a ledge anymore. It's just water. So convinced that we're on the trail, my wife says to me, well, let's just grab the roots and we'll crawl up the side of the mountain. That's what we did. There's no place else to go. So from that time forward, one of the phrases that has entered into our discussion, our dialogue, was just grab the roots. So we grabbed the roots. We scampered up the side of this hill. We come to the top of the hill, and what do we see? A wide sidewalk with handrails on either side. That was the trail. We were nowhere near it. So yes, having some experience, having been out on the trails, knowing how to read markers and maps and stuff, doesn't always work. So given your choice, if you have the opportunity to go out on the hiking trail with someone that knows the trail, do it. The best thing is to have a guide with you. Now, this is part of what God has promised in His Word. All the way back from the days of Moses in the passage that Mike read to us this morning. Thank you, Mike. You looked a little bit different than Kathy if you read anyone read our script or the bulletin. So God speaks to the people of Israel, says, I'm taking you out of Egypt. All these years, 400 years plus, being slaves in Egypt. It's time to go now. And God sends Moses down there, and in dialogue as they're leaving, and I'm kind of jumping really into the middle of the story. It didn't happen right at the beginning, but in the middle of the story, God and Moses are having a conversation.
And in the conversation, Moses makes a comment. He makes a statement. He's talking to God about making sure that God's going to continue to go with them. And in that conversation, Moses makes this comment. He says, what will distinguish us? What will help the world to see that we're different from all the other gods out there? Gods of wood and hay and stone. What would distinguish us from all the rest? And Moses declares, it's your presence with us. Yes, if God, who has breathed the world into existence, who can call forth the stars by name, keeps all the universe in order, if that God goes with you, and his power is made manifest, demonstrated over and over and over again, yes, that would be pretty much. The whole idea would be that the world outside there would see and take notice. So in the conversation, Moses says, well, what will distinguish us from all the other nations? And in the conversation, the Lord responds. I'm putting this a little bit out of order, but the conversation is that God declares to Moses and to the people through Moses, yes, I will be with you. Even though sometimes you drive me crazy, God, that's Rick Sergi paraphrase, it doesn't read quite that way. But God said, I will go with you, and that my presence with you will be the distinguishing mark to all the world out there. And so yes, that statement that God makes to Moses is repeated throughout Scripture, and Jesus speaks to us, to you and to me, thousands of years after the conversation between God and Moses. And God declares to you and me also that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will go with you day by day. I will direct your steps. I will make your way clear. And so, yes, we thank God that he promises to be with us. That as he was with Israel in times past, yes, in the course of our lives, in the things that we go through day by day, we thank him that he's a God that promises to stay with us, yes. But the thing we have to keep in mind is that the trail may not be the one that we would have chosen. As an illustration, let me put in context the things that God has spoken to us. Jeremiah 29:11. We frequently quote that. We try to apply that to our own lives as persons, as individuals. And yes, in fact, there's a truth there. The first time God spoke this, though, to the people, he was speaking to the nation at large. He was actually telling them about the discipline that they have to come under, and yet in the midst of it, he says, even though for a while I have to spank you, I have to discipline you, know for sure that I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to bring you through it. I have plans for your future. And my plans for your future are to prosper you, to bless you, to give you hope, and to give you a purpose. These are the things that God spoke to them, even though he knew that he had to bring correction to them as a nation. And we too can look at these truths and we recognize that there's an eternal reality woven into the words of God that, yes, he has a purpose and a plan for you and for me. But we have to let him direct us into it and through it. In Psalm 32, verse 8, God says this, I, the one who's going to stay with you, the one who will never leave you nor forsake you, he says, I, who is going with you, walking with you day by day, I will lead you. I will teach you. I will instruct you. I will show you how and where you should walk day by day. So just as Mike read that passage, a God in the Old Testament led Israel through the day and through the night, through the day with a cloud, through the night by a pillar of fire. God promises you and me that he will bring us to the place he wants us to get. He will teach us and walk with us and guide us and instruct us all through the way. But let's go back for a moment and pull out a couple things that were spoken to the people, to Moses and the people. In Exodus 13, the passage that Mike read, there's a statement in there. It said, when Pharaoh let the people go, depending on your translation, it reads slightly differently, but here's what it's saying. It said, God did not lead them the near way. Now, here's what I want you to see. In that day, when God was leading the people out of Egypt, here's Egypt where they're at. There's the promised land. That seems like if you and I were to plug into our GPS and say, give us the fastest route, we would take that route. And yet the reality is that that's not the path that God took them. God took them in a different path. And it tells us that in the midst of that, he takes them the far way. It's like driving from here to Mukunji and going through Easton to do it. It doesn't make any sense. And as they looked at the map, which they didn't have it that day, but as we look at the map, we can see visually what it means when it says God did not take them the near way, the easy way. He took them the far way. And why did he do that? Mike read it for us. But as you read the rest of the passage and really the whole of Exodus, it says that God didn't do that because he said, I don't want to take them to the land of the Philistines. They're bad guys living here. They're tough guys. They're a warrior nation. And God recognizes that his people who have lived as slaves, beaten down for 400 years, he knows they're not an army. He knows that they don't know how to fight. He knows that the time is not yet ready for them to go head on into this land where sure enough they would encounter conflict. And so God, knowing where they're at, knowing where he wants to take them, knowing what lies in the middle, also knows the best path to take them, to prepare them, to equip them. He knew the experiences that he wanted to expose them to. He knew the things he wanted to put into their hearts. He knew it all. And so the one who knows it all decides in their day, I'm going to take them this roundabout way. And in fact, he could have just kind of avoided them and just kind of take them around here. But in fact, he takes them down to this piece of the Red Sea and he does a miracle for them. Which here we are thousands of years later talking about when he brought the people through the Red Sea. God took them to places and encounters and divine appointments where the faith that he wanted to grow in them would begin to sprout. So, in another circumstance, when we actually see God doing this in people's lives, many of us know the story of Joseph. One of the sons, anybody remember who his dad was? Father's Day. Hello? Jacob! One of the sons of Jacob, Father's Day. Jacob, in one sense, we recognize that Joseph was a preferred son. He had special blessings. And this whole thing created jealousy, and his brothers ended up selling him into slavery. And he goes down into Egypt. And yet years later, he can say to his brothers that while you meant this whole thing for evil, God sent me down there, not just for a couple days, but for years. And he did something in me, and he broke my dreams, and he broke my person, and then he rebuilt me. And in me and through me, he brought salvation and safety to his people. And so years later, Joseph, being on the other side of a difficult time in his life, is able to declare to the men that began it for him, he said, you meant it for evil. But God was in the middle of it all the way back, even when you sold me into slavery, God was going to use all of this for good. And it sounds a little bit like God speaking to the people of Israel. Like, I want to get you from here to there, but I'm going to take you the hard way. And God had given Joseph a dream and said, you're going to one day reign over your brothers. But before we go there, I'm going to take you the hard way. I'm going to take you down and you're going to become a slave of a slave. In fact, you're going to go into prison. You're going to be accused unrighteously of something that you didn't even do. So we see what should be the easy way. We're like, God, just take me from there to here to there. The easy way. And God said, no, there's some things that I need to do in and through you. And the only way I can do this is to take you the hard way. There's a story, we've seen it in Scripture, where Jesus on the top of a mountain sends his apostles and says, okay, I want you to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. I'll catch up with you, but you head on out there. And as he did, He goes up on the top of the mountain to pray, and he looks down in the middle of the night, and there's his apostles out in the stormy sea. Did Jesus forget to check the weather forecast? No. He knew what he was doing. He knew, in fact, he would be sending them out there to encounter a storm head on. But he also knew what he was going to do to bring their faith from one point of understanding to a higher. And so he sends them out. Go out there. If he would have said to them, go out there, there's a hurricane coming, but go out there anyway. They might have panicked a little bit and maybe decided to wait until tomorrow to get in the boat. So Jesus, sometimes he hides some information from us. You get it? You ever feel like, Lord, why don't you just tell me the whole thing up front? No, sometimes he hides some information and waits until you're in the middle of it to give you any of it. So when we sign on with Jesus and he says, okay, I'm going to take you for a hike. Sure, we all want the easy path. Lord, we hear you say, oh, come follow me. And we want it paid for us. If it can't be paved, at least make it straight and narrow, wide. Don't put too many hills in it. Don't make us trip over the roots. Don't make us crawl up the side of the cliff. Don't make it get dark and scary. We want to sign on. We want to walk with you. Yeah, it sounds great. And we think that when we sign in a dotted line, so to speak, we say, Lord, I want to be with you. I want you to be my guide. I want you to lead me. We think that everything's going to be bright and sunny. We think the road's going to be clear and level. The reality is that that's not the way that God works. And frequently what he has to do for us and does do in us is he takes us the more difficult way. This is not the story of grab the roots, but it could have been. The roots that we were climbing up on the St. Lucia were really tiny little things, and you grabbed them and you pulled out. But sometimes God takes you and I not the easy way, not the near way. Sometimes he takes us a far way. Sometimes he has to take us to paths that seem darker or scarier, where this outcome seems very uncertain and we're not quite sure, and yet that's the path that he chooses to take us in. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, this is his plan and his purpose for you and for me. That day by day, in all the circumstances he brings our life, he says this. He says that through these things, we are being transformed. The word behind this, kind of metamorphosis, kind of like a caterpillar going into its cocoon and coming out completely differently. It says that you and I are being transformed all the time from one level of glory to the next. That he's taken us like he takes gold from a place of value, putting us through a refinement process, submitting us to pressure and to heat and to flame and to crushing. So he can take you and I from a level of purity, a level of gold, to a higher level. And we're not unique in this. He did it for Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews we went through several months back, it says that God perfected even Jesus himself through the things that he struggled. So that, like the remember the old Dr. Seuss story, where you eat green eggs and ham on the top of a mountain or on a tree, wherever, all those different places. In the same way, God took Jesus Christ to every possible challenging circumstances to see if he would still honor the Father in them all. And he did. And so in the same way, you and I, walking in the same path with Jesus, we have to go through difficult times, because in those, God brings the crushing, the pressure, the fire to bear on our lives, so that the faith that's at work in us is increasing in its value. Isaiah 46, 8 to 10 says this, and this is an encouragement to us when we're in the middle of a difficult time, when word has come to us that we're sick or something that we expected to happen didn't, or good things, bad things come, when difficult things are coming, when we are in that far path, when we're in the difficult moment, when the circumstances we're in are very uncertain. This is a word that we can remember, that the one who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, the guide that is leading us in the path, has also declared this, I
am God.
There is no other beside me. The world for a while may embrace something else, an artificial, a fake, an imposter God. They may cling to their finances. They may cling to their job. They may cling to their titles. They may cling to any number of things for a while. But at some point, all those things fall away. God declares, I am the only one that abides forever. I am God. There is nothing, no one else out there like me. I alone can number all the stars, remember their names, and call them forth what I want to. I'm the one that can store up snow or call it out. I'm the one that can define the boundary of the ocean. I am with you, the one who does all those things, who knows what the end is even before the first step, who knows every bend in the trail, all the ups and downs of everything he's bringing in your life. He knows where he needs to get you to. Who can call forth anything he needs. That God promises to be with you all the time. He says, and I know where we're going. I know how to get us there. Even before it begins, I know the end, even before the beginning's in place. And we see that demonstrated in that story I told you before, Joseph. We could never figure out how God could do something like he did with the life of Joseph, taking him down to Egypt as a slave and then making him a king. And yet God said, I have the same plans for you to bring you to a place of prosperity where you will be a partner with me in the work that I'm doing throughout eternity. And I'm preparing you for that. We have to stop looking at our circumstances at the moment on this earth as though somehow that those define what our future is. No. God brings those things into our lives, good and bad, things that cause rejoicings and things that cause stumbling. God brings them into our lives so that he can prepare us for what's on the other side of this in eternity. Psalm 23, verse 4, we've said this many times. We've heard this quoted, and you hear it frequently at funerals. Psalm 23, in the middle of that, God said, through David to us, he says, even when you go through difficult, dark, scary times, that I don't need to fear any evil. I shared this with a few of you over the past probably year or so. About a year ago, or maybe a little bit longer, I heard a guy describing the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, this way. He said there was a father driving down the highway with his son. His son's in the car with him, young son. Driving down the highway, when all of a sudden a truck, I guess they had just experienced a death in the family, and they were talking about what this meant, the shadow of the valley of death. And the father was trying to help his son understand how death is but a shadow. And so as they're speaking and having this conversation, they're driving down the highway, a truck passes by, a big tractor trailer. And the shadow of the truck falls down upon the car. The father said to the little boy, he said, did you see that truck go by? Yeah, I saw it. Did you see the shadow that fell off the truck? Yes. In fact, the shadow rolled right across their car. The father asked the son, would you have rather gotten hit by the truck or by the shadow? Didn't have to think very long about it, but obviously the child opted for the shadow. Because the shadow has nothing permanent. It does no harm. The same way God promises you and I that he will bring us through those things that look scary for a moment. They are but shadows. They have no power in and of themselves to any way bring injury or harm to us. Psalm 138, verse 8. Promises also, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for you and for me. And he does it out of the overflow of an unending love for you and for me. Oh, Lord, you are the one. Your love never fails. It endures forever. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, and this is where I want to kind of bring us to now, follow me. Simple, two words, follow me.
in that he's declaring that he will be the guide of our lives. He doesn't say, let me follow after you. He doesn't say, you know what, I'll hop in a car and I'll go with you wherever you're going. In it, Jesus is saying, no, I have the plan for your life. I know where you need to get, and I know where you are at right now, and I know how to get you there. I know the challenges, and I can see what's coming, even though you can't. I can see the bad things that are ahead, I can see the good things, and I can see around them all, and I can get us where we're going. Follow me. So my brothers and my sisters, when God says, follow me, the thing we have to wrestle with is, will we? In Psalm 31, verses 14 to 15, David declares this in the middle of that psalm. He says, but Lord, above all the things that I can put my confidence, my hope, and my trust in, it's you. He declares that you are my God. You will never leave me nor forsake me. And so, with a sense of overflowing confidence in you, you, Lord, who call forth the earth and the stars, that knows the end from the beginning, you are my God. You will never leave me nor forsake me. You will work out your purposes and your plans for me. And so I, with all confidence in the good and the bad, in the scary moments, in the bright moments, in the painful struggles, we can declare with David that my times and everything about my experiences day by day, they rest with you. My time, my life, are in your hands. Amen.